National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
Well, 2016 has come to a close, and no doubt there are a lot of people eager to see its departure and to get on to 2017. 2016 was a momentous year, however, and for reporters and editors trying to keep up, it was a year that we will not soon forget. This week on Register Radio, we talk to Register correspondents and editors about the year that was. It's a special Year in Review here on Register Radio. I'm Matthew Bunsen, senior editor for the National Catholic Register, senior contributor for EWTN, and co-host of Register Radio. I'm filling in as host for Register Editor-in-Chief Jeanette DeMello, who's away on maternity leave. Well, a monumental upset in the presidential election, a controversial papal exhortation on the family, and a national media obsession with fake news. These are just a few of the stories we'll be talking about for a long time. But what was the year like for actual Catholic reporters? What were their most vital stories? I'm joined by two of the Register's best, Peter Jesser-Smith and Joe Pronishin. Peter Jesser-Smith is a Register staff reporter. He's helped cover Pope Francis's historic visit to Jerusalem and Holy Land in 2004. Later that same year, he covered the Syrian and Iraqi refugee crisis by traveling to Jordan and Lebanon, representing the Register through the Catholic Relief Service's Egan Fellowship. Joe Pronishin has also been a staff writer with the National Catholic Register since 2005. His articles have appeared regularly in a number of national publications, including Columbia Magazine, Faith and Family, Catholic Digest, and Marian Helper. Well, welcome to both of you to Register Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, this is one of those years, as I mentioned, that is probably going to be memorable for all of us. First, your immediate, your blush take on 2016. We'll start with you, Peter.
You know, I think 2016 was quite a year of contrast in that throughout the year was, I mean, from the Catholic perspective, was Pope Francis's year of mercy. At the same time, so much of the news seemed to be about how much the world, the nation, and the, even different people in the church were almost at each other's throats. So there was definitely, kind of a contrast in terms of certainly what the Holy Father and the church aspired for the year. And kind of the enormous amount of sort of violence and intentions that seemed to be just about everywhere. So that was one aspect of it. But I also think that the year, despite having seen an enormous amount of celebrities and famous people die, was also a year in which there were a lot of different hidden moments of grace that I think we had an opportunity at the Register to highlight to people. Because otherwise, I think it would have been more or less unbearable.
Yeah, pretty dismal time. Yeah, Joe, how about you?
Yes, I saw this as a year of a great contrast, as Peter had mentioned. People are gravitating more and more toward either side of the fence, and there's less and less agreement on matters in the church sometimes. However, again, this is a year of hope, and that came with some of the unreported stories I saw and that I ran across, or underreported, I should say. But one of the big things of the year was the mercy element in this case, being it the year of mercy, and we try to get people to accept that mercy by various ways. We try to remind them constantly various ways in which they can learn about mercy and true mercy, what it is, and how they themselves can accept God's mercy.
Both of you, I think, have a really important take on that, because this is such a time of polarization, and it's seen both in the culture, but in the church at times, too. So I think that year of mercy theme is something that we really need to stress. So what would both of you consider, from your standpoints, to be the most important story that each of you covered for the year?
Well, there were a couple, I have to say, but one of them that jumps out and that I could say was sometimes overlooked, and that was the problem with the Fulton Sheen canonization efforts. They were moving slowly forward, then they got stalled in court, of all things, and now they are, again, dead in the water until an appeal in court is moved. And here it's such a consternation because we have the first Catholic priest born in America here who would have been beatified and right on his way to canonization. I mean, there's no question about everything is there approve. The only thing need to be done is to move his body to Peoria, and yet there's a bickering and fighting over this, you know, which does not help out. There's that polarization again that we were speaking about, and you know, if obviously people need to look at St. Paul, what he said about the civil courts. Catholics not go to the civil courts to have their problems straightened out over here.
Understood. And Peter, how about you?
You know, I think some of the most important stories that I think I've been working on this year was really trying to fill what I thought was a great need, which was a Catholic perspective on the real racial tensions that exist within the country. And the importance of that was, you know, we in the church occupy a very important space to actually explore what is going on through the lens of our faith rather than the lens of politics through which this often tends to get interpreted. And the stories that I was writing, you know, were in many ways very challenging and difficult for me because it was an opportunity to explore the lives and the perspectives of others, particularly Black Catholics, that I just don't personally have, you know, as someone of European descent whose ancestors have been in this country, you know, 400 years, but in many ways just as long as some of the people that I have spoken with as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I was really happy that the Register was providing an opportunity for the church to say, let's actually take a look at what's going on. And I think in that respect, I think probably the story I liked the best out of that was when Georgetown University came forth with this information that it had participated in slavery, that it was a very bad chapter for the church, in which the Jesuits really became corrupted by the institution of slavery and caused a scandal throughout the worldwide church. That we in this country, we tend to forget about our problems. We like to move on, but it doesn't mean that the wounds have been healed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what Georgetown was actually doing for the rest of the church, which was showing a model, you know what, we can face our past, and we can work together to heal it, which is where the descendants came in, because the only reason we know about them is because even though they were betrayed by the priests who baptized them and were selling them for money to finance Georgetown, they realized something deeper and more transcendent, that it was all about Jesus Christ, and they kept with that when they had absolutely no earthly reason to do that. And that's what I think was really powerful, is that the faith of those 272 should be a very, very powerful story to reverberate throughout the church for anybody who has felt disappointed, let down, betrayed, or feels like they're just white-knuckling their faith in whatever circumstance. But I do think that's an aspect that Georgetown did, but the rest of the church did not.
At the same time, Georgetown's scandals have been worse in the line of some of the teachers they have teaching there and the people they allowed speaking there, pro-abortion, for example. It's just a total scandal in the way they allow those kind of pro-abortion events or speeches to go on a campus, and even from teachers that are professors there.
Yeah.
So,
Well, you're listening to Register Radio here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Matthew Bunsen. Continuing my conversation with Joe Pronishin and Peter Jesser Smith, both crack correspondents for the National Catholic Register, as we look at the year in review. So please continue, Peter. You were about to say something.
Well, I mean, without a doubt, Georgetown has various different aspects which are troubling, and which, from a Catholic perspective, you know, really needs to address. And Joe brought up some of them. But what I really do think is that we should point out the things that they've done which are admirable, and which I think is done in this case. And what I was about to say was, during the Year of Mercy, we talked a lot about mercy, but I don't think any of us in the church really took an opportunity to do what St. John Paul II did, which was to say, you know, in this year, let's look at where the church has fallen down in terms of treating black Catholics as our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. There was a priest who had basically said that, you know, it was just less than 50 years ago he was leading segregated sodalities, in southern Maryland. But during the Year of Mercy, this is never an issue that we brought up to address, and I thought that was unfortunate, particularly in light of the fact that there was a need for a special report on race, but there was not integrated into that a need to have the entire church go and promote these heroic witnesses of black holiness that we have. We have about six causes going on. So I thought Georgetown did a good thing that I thought the rest of the church could learn from, but, you know, it's never too late to practice mercy, and I think this is an area where we could improve.
Mm-hmm. Well, very briefly, in the time we have left for this segment, what do you both see as the most underreported story for the year?
What I see is the approval of the apparitions of the Blessed Mother of Our Lady of the Rosary in San Nicolas, Argentina. That happened in May, and that hardly made any news. I did an article on that, and yet here is the last apparition she appeared was on the anniversary of the last apparition at Fatima. I'm sorry, the first time she spoke was on the anniversary of the last apparition at Fatima, and there's such a tie-in to Fatima coming up now. This particular year, and yet, for some reason, maybe because it was in a foreign country, and yet it's a major, major apparition that went on for several years, in which she brings to us, again, messages very similar to Fatima's about praying the rosary and all, and obviously using that title, Our Lady of the Rosary, and yet most people were totally unaware of it.
That was a great story. Yeah, and Peter, briefly, how about for you?
I think the most underreported story in the year was most of the document of Amoris Laetitia. There's been so much that has been focusing on footnotes, and that it's not to say that that's not an important discussion to have, but there was really a lot in there, particularly Chapter 6, which really called for the Church to revolutionize its approach to marriage formation at the parish level. Chapter 6 is basically a blueprint for where the Holy Father wants us to go. And I'm really afraid that most of our focus has been on checking the document for orthodoxy rather
right.
than examining the document for how do we need to change. Because I tell you, I mean, having been somebody who's been recently married and you yourself know, what is offered out there is abysmal. The support after you're married is almost non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
And for people who actually end up in marriages that are cracking or fail, there's hardly any support system out there whatsoever. But the Pope offered an entire rethink that really, really needed to be explored, and the topic of conversation that I think we've really missed an opportunity to devote more resources. And I'm speaking about the general Catholic media world.
Right.
We've certainly tried to draw attention to it, especially with the marriage catechumenate.
Those are two stories that I think we definitely need to focus on. And we're out of time for this segment, but I'm really grateful for both of you for coming on, and I'm very grateful for all the work you did throughout the year.
Oh,
thank you.
And thank you for having us, Matthew. Pleasure to be here on Register Radio anytime.
Look forward to having both of you back. Well, when we come back, I'm continuing my conversation with Register editors and correspondents about the most memorable moments of the year. It's a special year in review here on Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Bishop Robert Barron talks about the importance of the National Catholic Register.
You know, the Register delivers something which is extremely important because you won't get it from the mainstream media, namely the Catholic context and perspective. Sometimes the mainstream media will pretend, oh, they don't have a perspective. They're just giving the news neutrally. Well, no one does that. Everyone's got a perspective. What they often bring is a sort of secularist ideology. The National Catholic Register brings a robustly Catholic take on the world, and that's indispensably important.
For a free 6-issue trial of the National Catholic Register, go to ncregister.com and click on the 6 free issue banner, or call 800-421-3230 for your 6 free issues. And as you await your first issue, enjoy our online content.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back to Register Radio. I'm Matthew Bunsen, senior editor for the National Catholic Register and senior contributor for EWTN. I'm continuing my conversation with Register editors and correspondents about the most memorable moments of the year. I'm especially happy to be joined by Tom Wehner, the Register's longtime managing editor. Tom has served on the Register staff since 2005 and has been managing editor since 2009. After 25, I'm guessing, long years in the secular press. If anyone wants to know how and why the Register is a remarkable paper that it is, it starts with Tom's diligence and his incredible dedication as editor, and I'm not being nice about it. Welcome, Tom.
Good to be with you, Matthew.
Well, as managing editor, for people who may not be familiar with the title, you have your hands on almost literally everything that goes into the paper and on the digital side of ncregister.com. How you manage it, and pun intended, is almost beyond me.
Well, it's I would say it's a labor of love, because my position at the Register allows me to combine my love for my Catholic faith along with my love of journalism and my love of communicating issues and communicating with our readers and those who aren't familiar with the Register and things like that. So it really is a providential position for me, I think.
Mm-hmm. And you were on the staff during the whole transition time when EWTN became involved with the Register. How's it been? How's the last year's been?
Well, I can, speaking for myself and just from anecdotally speaking to the staff, I think that the wedding of the Register with EWTN has been going on now. It's been going on 5 years. It has been incredible because it has given us avenues to new readerships and expanded readerships, and one of the biggest things that people would always ask is how I didn't really realize the Register was out there. And now that we're going on 6 years with EWTN, and we're expanding our print readership, which is unheard of in this day and age, and we're even getting larger avenues out to our digital readership, I can be nothing but grateful.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've been, as I mentioned, in the Catholic press now for, what, about 30-some-odd years.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember a year quite like this one?
Wow. this has been a very interesting year. When you mentioned earlier in your intro, the notable moments of the year, it seems to me, and I'm not sure to you as well, that every day has been notable for some reason, either positive or negative. But I really can't remember another year like this.
Both for the church, but also for the whole country and the world. I mean, it's so many major events this year, so many surprises. And, of course, the one that the Register had the ability to cover in a way probably unforeseen, but also in a way that we haven't been able to do before, was to really drill down into the political scene this year.
Yes, I agree. This is really one of the first times that we've been actively and as you said, drilling down into the issues that that really are of importance, because there will always be ideological wars going on among between the political parties and among individual voters, but to really I really admired and appreciated the way that the Register staff and the Register as a whole was able to stick to its mission of forming and informing Catholics on the issues, and really in a very acrimonious political cycle, and really cut through some of the things and you know, help to really inform our readers on the issues that help them form a decision on the elections, not only for president but in their own states.
Mm-hmm. And even being able to go to things like the two conventions, to be able to cover the debates the way we did, but then also to keep sight of that education of helping people to form their consciences with what I thought were some really very valuable guides and commentaries from across the whole spectrum of our journalistic stable.
Exactly. And one of the things I point to, I'm glad you mentioned that, because one of the things that I point to as we did our preparation for the upcoming election, one of the things that I was particularly grateful for was the two-page pull-out section that we had for readers that explained each individual issue, what candidate Trump has said on the issue, what candidate Clinton has said on the issue, what the Democratic Party has said on the issue, what the Republican platform said on the issue, and putting that in light of what the church teaches on the issue. And so I thought that was a very valuable resource to our readers, and I think that in subsequent elections that we will continue to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're listening to Register Radio. I'm Matthew Bunsen. Continuing my conversation with Tom Wehner, managing editor of the National Catholic Register. And Tom, when we talk about our political coverage from the Register side, you really touch in a way on the fact that the Register is able to uncover stories that might be missed in the Catholic press or to bring a perspective that you might not find elsewhere in the Catholic press.
Sure, because one of the things that we tend to fall prey to sometimes is the main election, the presidential election. And to be sure, there were issues that between both candidates that may have been questionable, that were questionable for Catholics, and that it was a tough decision. But however, that's not the only election, because there were ballot questions in each state that were of monumental importance to Catholics and to voters, from the legalization of the death penalty to the abolition of the death penalty to assisted suicide and to the legalization of marijuana, among some other things, as well as educational bills that were voted on. We were sure to note that those were of importance to voters in those states, and consequently to citizens of the United States.
Mm-hmm. And the other kinds of stories that we're able to focus on, from the Vatican side to American Catholicism, are there any stories that really jump out at you as most memorable for this year?
Well, I like to look at how the church perseveres, because the church has always faced conflict and faced retribution by civil governments. And as Christ said, he promised us that the church would survive any political system. And I like the perseverance of Catholics in the United States, the individual stories what groups and individuals are doing to reclaim, to make the government, or to try to force the government to abide by the constitutional rights of religious freedom. That was big. The Little Sisters of the Poor story, their unanimous victory at the Supreme Court this past year was one of my favorites, as well as the recognition of Father Stanley Rother as a martyr for the Church, the first U.S.-born martyr for the Catholic Church, because we tend to think that martyrs only happened back in the early days of the Church and through the Dark Ages, etc., but martyrs are made even as we speak.
Yeah, and I'm reminded, too, of some of the work that Peter Smith did in focusing on the suffering of the Eastern Christians, certainly across the Near East and Iraq and elsewhere, and his trips to the Middle East that I thought were very helpful for readers to have a better sense of the context of that suffering.
Yes, I agree, and it's no less important than some of the things that are going on that we cover domestically.
Yeah. And talk more about Mother Angelica, because this was something that we looked at very closely at the Register, that everyone at EWTN really focused on, too.
That was probably one of my favorite stories of the year, if not the favorite story of the year. Not from the focus of her passing, which is poignant on its own coming on Easter Sunday, but just the outpouring from Pope Francis to dignitaries, international dignitaries, and just from people who across the United States whose lives have been touched by this amazingly faithful poor Claire nun who decided to start a television network and is now the beneficiaries of an international global Catholic network.
Mm-hmm. And that influence is very palpable. I hope you don't mind my mentioning this on the air, but we start every meeting with a prayer, and we end every meeting with a prayer. And I have to say that there is the spirit of Mother Angelica that permeates everything that we try to do.
Well, you're right, and we know that our jobs that we do and our lives begin and end with God and with Christ's guidance and with the communion of saints. It's no mistake that Saint Francis de Sales and Saint Maximilian Kolbe are among the patron saints of journalists and writers, etc. And I think I think that Mother Angelica has a hand in that as well, just by her media savvy and her commitment to spreading the gospel through media.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're just about out of time, but what are you working on right now?
Right now we're working on our year-end print issue, which will be in homes on January 8th. We're also covering some other news that's coming from the Vatican. The Pope has given his annual message to the Roman Curia in the area of what's coming up with the Supreme Court and the Pope's travels for the new year, as well as the inauguration and the annual March for Life.
A lot to cover. Well,
yeah,
Tom, thank you so much for being with me, and I look forward to having you on again.
Thanks for having me, Matthew. I appreciate it.
Well, and thank you for joining me here on Register Radio, here on EWTN. For much more news, analysis, and commentary on the church and major events of the day, remember to go to ncregister.com. For my producer, Jeff Burson, I'm Matthew Bunsen. Happy New Year, and may your 2017 be safe, blessed, and joy-filled. God bless.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.